Isaiah 51. Oh, let's see. This morning, I mentioned the fact that we wrote these letters, and the pastors were to read the letters from time to time, one when they left the church here, one when they left the city limits, and so forth. And many pastors are reading the letters to their people even now. Isaiah 51 is sort of like that. Israel was not in captivity in Isaiah 51. But the prophet, inspired by the Holy Spirit, looked down to the years when Israel would be in captivity and gave them Isaiah 51 to read while they were in captivity, or it prophesied the captivity. So what it amounts to is this. When the Israelites were in Babylon as slaves in bondage, Isaiah said, when you get out there, and you are, he was prophesying God's judgment and the captivity upon them for their sins. He said, when you get there, I want you to do something. I want you to remember the rock which you were hewn, and remember the hole of the pit which you were digged. What he's saying is this, don't forget what you used to be. Israel was going to be in bondage, but she was a proud nation. And so God gives her this amazing passage. Now, why would God say to his people, don't forget what you used to be? How many of you, be honest with me now, how many of you were saved from a life of, let's say, gross sin? Would you raise your hand, please? Heavy sin. All right, many of you. Thank you very much. Now, young people, no talking, please. None at all. What the Lord is saying is don't forget that. Compare, for example, this beautiful building this morning with the way you used to spend the weekends. Huh? Compare this, that little leap-in, limp-out place you used to go to on Saturday night. Compare the joy and the excitement of this place to the filth and garbage and junk and cesspool and septic tank of the place where it used to be. Compare the wonder of this book to the junk you used to read. Compare the delight of the songs when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of earth have gathered over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Compare this to what you used to be. And then jump up and down and clap your hands and say, hallelujah, glory to God, for the salvation God has given me through Jesus Christ. Now, there are four reasons I want to call to your attention why God tells his people to remember the pit from whence they were digged. In the first place, God wants us not to forget in order to give us humility. Humility. I've told you this before. I share it again. After every sermon I've preached for 25 or 26, 27 years now, I have gone to my room or to my office and gotten on my knees and remembered the first sermon I ever preached. That little stuttering 3-minute discourse, that little failure when I sat down with tears and the deacon chairman of that church got up and said, I thought he was a preacher. I'm sorry, he's not. I don't know what to do. The pastor's on vacation. He said he left a preacher for us, and now I don't know what to do. That was my first sermon. Every time I preach from this pulpit, I go to my office and relive the shame and disgrace of that little meeting. If I preach around the country, as I do every week, I always, fellows, have them seated on the seats before you open the doors. All you got to do is obey. It's not hard. Would you go out and see if that's done, please? I want the doors open. I want them seated before the doors open, if they would, please. All right. Everywhere I am around the country, when I preach in some other state or city, when I finish preaching, I go back to my room and I get on my knees and I remember that first sermon. When I went home that night, I bowed my head and promised God. I said, dear God, if you'll make a preacher out of me, I promise you I'll never forget tonight and the failure I made without you. Don't forget the pit, the hole of the pit, which ye are dig. Don't forget, Magdalene. Don't forget, as you announce the resurrection of our Lord and tell the world that Jesus lives and announce the opening of the tomb and the fact that the tomb is empty and Jesus lives. Don't forget, Magdalene. You once were possessed of seven devils and were a wicked, vile, fallen woman. Don't forget, Peter, as you preach the great sermon on Pentecost, and as 3,000 people are saved, and as you become the great pillar of the church, and as you become the great leader of the apostles, don't forget, Peter! Don't forget that you were once a poor, cussing fisherman without anything much. Don't forget, woman of Sychar, as you go down and become a great soul winner, and announce to those people in Sychar, come see a man that told me all things I already. Don't you forget, you were once a fallen woman, living with wicked men and vile, dirty, filthy sin and giving your body to all kinds of lewdness and garbage. Hey, don't you forget, Gideon, as you lead those 300 people to put the Midianites to flight and become a great general of the army. Don't you forget, Gideon, where God found you. He found you a timid introvert, the least child of the least family, of the least tribe, of the least nation of the world. Don't you forget the hole from which you were digged, Gideon. Don't you forget, David! Hey, David! You on the throne of Israel! You with your mighty power! You the greatest king that ever sat on Israel's throne! You the great David! You who fell Goliath with a slingshot! You who killed a bear! You with your own hands killed a lion! You sitting upon the throne of Israel as the king of God's people and the mightiest king that ever sat upon that throne! Don't you forget, David! Don't you forget that when they found you, your dad didn't even think you'd qualify. He didn't even list you among his sons. Don't you forget the pit from which you were digged. Don't you forget, Moses. Hey, Moses, you leading those Israelites across that Red Sea on dry ground. You taking that rod and smiting that rock in Horeb and getting water to feed 3.5 million Jews. You who prayed that God and manna came and covered the ground like the hoary frost of the morning. Don't you forget, Moses. There was a day when you were a little bitty baby in an ark and bulrushes put in the Nile River. You could have drowned there in the Nile River. Don't you forget! And don't you forget either, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you forget, Dr. Billings, that once you were an orphan. Sit up, boys, on the front. Sit up and listen to me. Don't you forget, Dr. Billings. He's gone. He doesn't like the preaching around here. He's gone to preach. Young lady, sit up on the front. Sit up there. Listen to me. And don't you forget, Dr. Billings, once an orphan lad. Don't forget it. This man who's president of our college now, reared in Pennsylvania in an orphan's home. Let's not forget it. Don't you forget, Sonny, as you lead the rescue mission. Don't you forget, you once owned 3 taverns in this area. You once were a tavern keeper and a bartender for 20 years. You put wicked filth in people's hands to destroy their lives as you become exalted. Don't you forget the pit from which you were digged. Don't you forget, Brother Fisk. Don't forget. Used to go over here to these taverns yourself as a young man and live in sin, and one day you came to this church and God transformed you. I'll be honest with you, I cannot comprehend C.W. Fisk ever drinking a bottle of beer. I cannot. I can comprehend the drinking whiskey, but not beer. And but don't forget, as you go teaching soul-winning courses across the country, and as you have risen and become one of the great soul winners, if not the greatest in America, don't forget the pit from which you were digged. Don't forget, Jack Hiles! And I've thought about it all week long. It's been going through my mind all week. Don't forget, Jack, as I sat here in front of all these preachers from all across the country, I'm sure the greatest gathering of fundamental preachers in the history of this nation, and I'm sure more good was done for God in the last 5 days than has been done for God in any Bible conference of its kind in the history of this nation. And as I sat up here on the platform, I sat the other night over here, and right over here was Dr. John Rice and Dr. B.R. Lakin and Dr. Ford Porter and Dr. Ira Stanfield and Dr. McCarroll and Dr. Rudy Atwood and the others, Dr. William Ward Eyre, men whom I used to read about. When I was a little boy, I'd read sermons of William Ward Eyre, and I'd read about Dr. John Rice and hope that someday I could see him, much less shake his hand. And I sat here beside them last Tuesday night, and I got to thinking, blessed be God, how good God's been to me. And I remembered a little old poor boy from a little Texas neighborhood out in Lisbon, Texas. And all week, the Holy Spirit's been saying, don't forget, Jack. Don't forget the house on Hudspeth Street. Don't forget, Jack. You're just a poor kid from Texas. Don't forget it! Don't forget the rock from which you're hewn. Don't forget, Jacob, as you become a prince of God, and as you meet Esau there, and God has made you a prince. Don't forget, Jacob, what you used to be. You used to be a dirty, tricking schemester. You used to be you're the guy that stole the birthright from Esau. You're the guy that robbed the blessing that was Esau's to get from his own father. You dirty schemer. Don't you forget, Jacob, the hole of the rock from which you were hewn. Don't you forget, Paul, as you rend the Mediterranean Sea with the gospel of Christ, as you become the greatest missionary the world has ever known, the greatest preacher in the history of the church, and as you become the author of the New Testament, much of it. Don't you forget, Paul. Don't you forget where you were in the hole of the rock pit from which you were digged. Don't you forget, Paul. You were going down up to Damascus to kill Christians and to persecute the church of God. Don't forget it! Don't forget the hole from which you were digged. Don't you forget, Matthew, as you take your pen to write the first book in the New Testament. Don't you forget! You are a dirty tax collector robbing from people and stealing from them all that they had. Don't forget what you used to be. Don't you forget! Don't you forget! Don't you forget! Oh, my soul, I think, if we become rich and increase with goods, it will humble us if we can remember that once we were wretched and poor and miserable and blind. Don't forget, as you twist the ring that the Father gave you when you returned from the far country, and as you look at the ring that the Father placed upon your finger when he said, come, place a ring upon his finger. Don't forget, prodigal one who's come back to God, as you think of the beautiful robe that you now wear. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight, said the writer. Don't you forget, as you wear the robe placed on you by the Father. Don't you forget, as you sit at the feast of table and eat the fatted calf. Don't you forget, as you're the honored guest at the table as you come back home to God. Don't forget the hog pen and the swine with whom you ate and the husk that filled your own belly. And as you stop and think what you used to be and what God has done for you, clap your hands and say, hallelujah! What a Savior! Who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free? Don't forget the hole from which you were digged. While you're being checked into the inn, don't forget, dear one, that you once were lying beside the road and the Good Samaritan came and poured in oil and wine your wounds and set him, set you on his own beast and took you to an inn. Oh, don't forget, as you rest on the shepherd's shoulder coming back from the far hills away, don't forget that once you were a wandering sheep without knowing where the fold was and didn't know where the shepherd was, and the shepherd came looking for you and lifted you up and put you on his shoulders and made you a child of God. Don't forget, Reverend. That's why I don't like the word Reverend. But don't forget, Reverend. Used to be a dirty sinner on your way to hell. And if every one of us got what we deserve, we'd be on our way to hell. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Thank God. What a wonderful salvation we have in him. Amen. And don't forget the pit from which you were digged. Why? It gives us humility. These same feet. Somebody gave me not long ago a pair of shoes. And I looked on the bottom, Dr. Billy. Well, Dr. Hart preached to a guy if he's not here. Brother John, I looked on the bottom of the shoes they gave me, and they had the price tag on the bottom, and they cost $69. $69. Man, we used to pay $25 for our cars when I was a kid. I can recall numbers of times Dad buying a car for $25. $69 for a pair of shoes somebody gave to me. But these feet that wear these pretty shoes, these shoes I have on today are a gift. And everything I have on is a gift. But these shoes, the feet that are in these shoes used to go barefooted all the time. I must not forget it. I have a suit on that Russell Anderson gave me. We're out in California, and he wanted to buy me a suit. And we stopped in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco, and he bought me this very nice suit. And I think I look real handsome in it. And they bought there are two of you that agree. And he bought me this nice suit. And I've enjoyed it so much. And it cost him $175 for this beautiful new suit. And he bought me a tie. It's not the tie I have on now. He bought me a tie, and the tie cost $14. And this tie I have on. I was out in Pennsylvania preaching, and a man who came to the pastor school this week, had been here before, had gone home and taken a church out in the country, not far from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and out in the country has built a 1,200 or 1,400-seat auditorium and grew a church from a handful of people now to 1,200 or 1,400. And I went out to his church. His young people have been to our youth conference. And the boys have haircuts right there near Philadelphia. And the girls wear decent length skirts. And they're lovely young people. And they have a school with the standards of ours. And for Brother Hiles to come out, it was such an honor for them. They were so honored. And the young people got together and took up an offering and bought me this beautiful tie and put my initials on it. And they gave it to me. And they were so pleased the last service. And I was so pleased. And I went back to my room and thought how good it is to be loved. You preach as much as I preach, and folks may get mad at you as much as they get mad at me. It's awful nice to find somebody gives you a tie once in a while. Most of the places they give me a tie, they hang me with it. And they gave me this tie. But wait a minute. This body that has on this $175 suit this morning, for the first 13 or 14 years, never had a new garment on its back. Praise God for His goodness. I have a ring on my finger. Russell Anderson gave it to me, dirty rascal, for Father's Day. I'm like a father to him. He's 25 years older than I am. But anyway, it's a diamond ring. He tried to give me a diamond ring for years. I didn't want it. And finally, for Father's Day, he came and gave me this diamond ring. And I wear diamonds now. I didn't even know what a diamond was years ago. And this finger on which this diamond rests was a finger that all I ever had was, never had a ring in my life. You see, rings cost a dime at Woolworth, and that's mother if I could buy one. I mean, God's been good to me. We drove to church this morning in nice cars. Most of them, many of them are conditioned. And we sit here in a church building that has carpet all over it on comfortable pews. We wear nice clothes. We have good food. Every one of us ought to jump up and down and say, hallelujah, God has been good to us. Oh, blessed be God. Don't forget the pit from which you were digged. These same feet were once bare. This same body wore hand-me-downs. This same mouth was hungry. These lips couldn't speak. And the pit from which I was digged, I must keep before me all the time and thank God for His goodness. It is not us, it's Him. It is not me, it's Him. It is not my talent, it's Him. It is not my personality, it's Him. It is not my ability, it's Him. It is not my goodness, it's His. All I am and all you are is a dirty sinner that ought to go to hell and burn forever. And one day, by the grace of God, He saved us and wrote our names in heaven and made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why did God say, don't forget the hole of the pit, or look to the hole of the pit which you were digged? The first place, God wanted to make us keep our humility. There's a second thing God wanted to do for us. He wanted to give us praise. To give us humility, yes, but to give us praise. All week, as I said, I've been remembering when I've turned on the water this week. This is strange. Pastor schools are very... I'm trying to think of the word. It's a very traumatic thing for me. And all week, I turn on the water, and the Holy Spirit seemed to say, remember the well? Remember the well? Hey, you're Dr. Jack Hiles now! I knew you, he said, when you had to draw the water from a well. Every time I've seemed like I've gotten a drink of water this week, the Holy Spirit said, son, remember the dipper? Remember the dipper? How many of you ever drank out of dippers, huh? Years ago. Remember, we used to have a bucket of water, and we'd drink out of it. We'd drink the water out of it and slobber in it and put it right back in. And then the next fellow would come, he'd drink and slobber and put it right back in. You know, we didn't have as many viruses in those days. We may have had them. We just didn't know what they were. And we had better medicine back in those days. Instead of this stupid penicillin and all that junk, we had mustard plasters and black draught and so forth that would make folks well. But Well, you've never suffered. You have a mustard plaster on your chest. My mother'd get that crazy mustard plaster and heat it to 50 million degrees Fahrenheit, stick it on my chest, and she said, that'll make you well. And I thought I was dying. And every time this week I've taken a drink of water, it seems like the Holy Spirit said, remember the dipper? Huh? I remember when you had a dipper. Seemed like every time this week I'd use the restroom, the Holy Spirit said, remember the outhouse? I'd say, don't mind me of that. I don't mind the dipper, and I don't mind, but not the outhouse. And remember the outhouse? Huh? And we had two rooms and a path, and that's all we had, going out to a little outhouse, little telephone booth, never had a telephone in it, and out in the backyard. And we had lizards out in the backyard. Now, I never did like lizards. I hate anything that crawls. And I'd have to go to the bathroom, and I'd take off running, and I'd try to miss the lizards as I'd go. And cold, good night, cold. And every time this week I've used the bathroom, it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you're Dr. Jerry Hyde. Yeah, preachers here from all over the country. Hey, Jack, huh? Remember the outhouse? Lord, trying to keep me down and keep me praising him and keep me humble. Every time I've gone to the refrigerator this week, the Holy Spirit said, remember the old ice box? Huh? When the ice man used to come by and you'd put how much ice you wanted out in the window and put the 25. You had a card. It said 25 here, and then 50, and then 75, and 100. And 25. That's not how much ice you got. That's how much it weighed when it left the ice house. By the time you got it in your ice box, it didn't weigh over 10 pounds. And you put, remember the old newspaper you'd wrap it in? Every time I'd get me open the refrigerator, the Holy Spirit would say, yeah, you're Dr. Jack Hiles, aren't you? I'd say, no, I'm not. I'm just a poor little Texas boy. And I remember the old ice box. Remember how you had to put a pan down underneath it because there's a pipe down through it. And as it melt, the water would come down through the ice box and come in the pan. And you had to empty the pan about once or twice a day. Or, well, you had to mop the floor four or five times a day in the pan twice a day. And how'd you keep your milk from curdling? Well, you tried to, you put it beside the ice up in the top of the ice box. How'd you keep the butter? Well, we didn't have any butter. We had margarine. We'd get that white margarine, had a little package of coloring with it, and Mama would melt the margarine, sprinkle the coloring over it, and get her hands in it, and like this, and like that, you know, and then she'd do it like that, and like that, and after she washed her hands, when she got through, so it'd be clean. And then after that, she'd make it into a mold. And then she'd like that, because she's going to make a design on the top, cross this way and across that way. And you can't cross butter unless you spit on your finger first. And she'd cross the margarine. And every time this week, I'd open the refrigerator, the Holy Spirit said, remember the ice box? Every time this week, it seemed like I've set the thermostat in the house. The Holy Spirit says, Jack, I remember when you had a wood stove. I remember that. And all week, I've been thinking about, look to the hole of the pit from which you were digged. Look to the hole of the pit from which you were digged. Ladies and gentlemen, God can't use any big people. God only uses little people. God can't use mighty and strong in their own selves. God uses the weak and the base and the simple things of this world to confound the wise. And all week, every time this week, I'd start the car. And I'd go get in my car and start the car. Seemed like the Holy Spirit said, remember cranking the car? By the way, I remember the pit when I was digged there, too. I've been carried out a few times from church, too. And, my little, is still deep, is still sore from what Mama used to do to me and what I hope to do to her. But, anyway, the pit from which you were digged. Every time they start the car, I mean that old crank. Anybody ever crank a car? Huh? And you crank it. If you don't get all the way around, it comes back at you. And when it comes back at you, it always aims for the jaw right here on the right side of the face. And I remembered, and every time this week, it seems like I'd take a bath. Holy Spirit would say, remember that number two tub? Huh? That number two tub? I bathe every morning. I wish you would. And I bathe every morning. And I'd take a bath in the morning, get up and go to the bathtub and take a bath in the morning. And the Holy Spirit, remember that number two tub? It seemed like he just wrung me out all week long. And I think about that number two tub and how you'd sit there. And that number two tub. And if you had arthritis, you'd just stay that way the rest of your life. That's what happened to Buddha. Took a bath one time in a tub, been that way ever since. And every time I'd bathe, the Holy Spirit said, "Yeah, remember the number two tub?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I remember that. And all week long it's been that way. Every time this week I've turned on a light, the Holy Spirit seemed to say, "Remember the old kerosene lamps and lanterns? Get on the bicycle and go up to the place and say, 'I want Nicholas coal oil.'" Coal oil. How did we ever get along without coal oil anymore? If we had a bad cold, we took some coal oil on sugar. Remember that? You don't remember that? You dumb people don't know anything about modern medicine. And get a bad cold, take some coal oil on sugar. And this week, as I've been, every time I turn the light on, I remember the old lamps and the old kerosene and the trimming of the wick. And how if you didn't get the thing set on just exactly right, then the lamp would get all dirty and the sun would go up and get the house all sooty. I remember that old smell we used to have, and I'd come in and thank God for the blessings and the pit from which He'd dug me. Every time I've eaten a meal this week or eaten a bite of something, I remembered how I used to get hungry and didn't have anything to eat, and Mother'd put me to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to keep me from getting hungry because we didn't have any heat in the house. And all week I've just been going around clapping my hands and praising the Lord and saying, "Hallelujah, God has been so good to me. Oh, good night, what's wrong with us?" Why don't we jump up and down and clap our hands and say, "Glory to God, hallelujah!" What we used to be is so much different from what we are now. I tell you what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Brother Boyd, remember one time you and I and Bill Harvey and a bunch of preachers were talking about what we'd have been if we hadn't have been preachers? And somebody said, Joe Boyd said, "I would have been an accountant. I took accounting, or I could have been a professional football player because the Washington Redskins offered me a contract." And somebody said, "Bill Harvey, what would he have been?" And somebody said he'd have been a comedian, or he could have been a singer, or anything. And finally somebody said, "What do you think Jack Hiles would have been?" And Bill Harvey said, "Jimmy Hoffa." He'd been a Jimmy Hoffa. No, the truth is, I didn't give up anything for the ministry. Except the little shack and an introvert personality and a little bit of a weak body. And Thursday night, I went to my office. And I said, "Lord, why me? Why me? Why me?" Oh, how good God has been. Remember the pit from which you were digged? So the Lord says, "Israel, as I lead you and give you victory after victory, don't you forget those Egyptian brick factories. Israel, don't you forget the bondage under Pharaoh. Israel, don't you forget the slavery you once had. Don't you forget the onions, cucumbers, watermelons, and leeks and garlic of Egypt. Don't you forget the misery. Don't forget that land of Egypt and how the Red Sea was dried and you walked over on dry ground. And don't forget what you used to be. Don't forget First Baptist Church of Hammond. Don't forget Jack Hiles. Don't forget, people of God, don't forget what you used to be." And because of that, the Lord says, "I'll make them humble. I'll give them praise." One fellow wrote a little note in pastor school Friday morning, and he said, "Next time you have a Thursday night service like you had last night," he said, "put some bed springs all across the altar." He said, "so those of us that get happy can jump up and down and shout with our shoes off like you do so often." All of us ought to do it. All of us. I recall one year, in fact, I've been praising God for this. My voice this morning is in good shape. Amen. And I'm in not only good shape, but it can endure, too, quite a while. And last Thursday, and I pastor school, I talk all the time and teach so many courses and preach so hard and get so little sleep. And lo and behold, last Thursday, I got that tingle up here in the nose and a sore throat. And I thought, I can't. I've been having a little trouble with my voice anyway, and I thought, I can't make it during pastor school if I'm sick. And so Friday I started taking some medicine. But I had to go to Philadelphia Friday and preach Friday night several times on Saturday. And a terrible ice storm came. And then Saturday it melted, and it was nothing but slush. And I forgot to take any rubbers to cover my shoes. And I walked in slush, and my feet got soaking wet. And the services were held in the college, and I had to walk about a half a mile from the parking lot to the college, and nothing to cover my feet. My shoes were wet, my feet were wet for 2 days. And I said, Lord, I won't be able to preach tomorrow, and I've got the pastor's school coming. And I was taking antibiotics, and I was sick. And along about Wednesday, it dawned on me I'd forgot to take my medicine. And everything was okay. And my voice is in better shape this morning than it was 10 days ago after all the use and abuse it's been through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And it reminded me about that year I was real sick. Had 103 degrees Monday night. And I went to my closet, and I got on my knees at pastor school, Monday night at pastor school, 103 fever. And I said, Lord, just give me strength for tonight. That's all I ask for tonight. And so I taught that night, spoke that night. And on Tuesday morning, I got up, and I said, Lord, give me strength for the next class. That's all I ask for. And I taught that class. And then Tuesday night, I said, Lord, give me strength for tonight. That's all I ask for. And I spoke Tuesday night. And then on Friday afternoon, early afternoon, we're meeting over here for lunch, a closing lunch in the old annex. We only had 600-700 folks at pastor school in those days. And an old preacher with white hair began to say, it's too late! It's too late! It's too late! I looked over, and an old preacher, hair was white. He was crying, and he ran over to me, and he said, Dr. Hiles, it's too late. And I said, what do you mean? He said, if somebody had taught me this 20 years ago, he said, it's too late for me. Oh, why didn't I have learned this 20 years ago? And he kept crying, and so help me. I walked out in the alley, and I said, thank God, it's not too late for me. It's not too late for me. And then as I got right out behind the church building here, right in the alley, by myself, it dawned on me that I had been sick and had forgotten about it. I'd had 103 degrees fever on Monday night and had forgotten all about it. And the week was over, and it was such a blessed week. And I took my shoes off out here in this alley, and I threw them as high as I could throw them. And I danced up and down that alley, thanking God and praising God and rejoicing in God's goodness. Oh, if anybody ever ought to thank God and shout His praises, it's the people, members of this church this morning. God has used us and blessed us. And don't forget. But wait a minute. I must hasten to say, remember or look to the hole or the pit which you dig. Why? To give us humility. Why else? To give us praise. But number three, to give us warning. Don't look to the hole of the pit so you won't hang around anymore. Don't go around it. Hey, you new Christians that used to go down to the tavern and drink, don't even drive by it anymore. Don't even drive by it. Don't even run with the same crowd anymore. I mean, don't even call them on the phone unless you try to get them saved. That's one reason we don't use rock music here with religious words to it. That's one reason we don't use folk music with religious words to it. You know why? We don't want to remind new converts of the old pit. We don't decorate this church with the pit. We decorate this church with what they're going to instead of what they came from. That's why you get females ought to wear a decent length skirt when you come to church. That's why if you wear a decent length skirt, you ought to cover your thighs while you're here. One man came to me one time and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I was a wicked, vile man, an immoral man, and I got saved. And he said, I took the offering in this church, but I had to quit taking the offering. And I said, why? He said, because of the females pulling their skirts up to their thighs and showing their knees and their thighs. And he mentioned some of the teenagers who wear decent length skirts, but pull them up and show their thighs. And he said, I had to quit taking the offering. I said, why? He said, because it reminded me of the old days and almost led me back into sin. God pity that kind of heathen dress. We ought to have the kind of dress that doesn't remind folks about the old pit. We ought to have the kind of songs and the kind of service that doesn't take them back to the old pit. Oh, listen to me. Hundreds of you are new Christians. you just got born again in recent days and weeks and months. Don't hang around the old pit. Look to the hole of the pit from which you dig, but don't go back to it and don't mess with it. Before you know, you'll be right back where you came from. Right back where you came from. And then, of course, God gave it to Israel to give them encouragement. He knew they were going to be in the land of Babylon in captivity and in bondage. The Lord said, Israel, don't forget what I did for you before. I can do it for you again. I led you out of Egypt. I can lead you out of Babylon. I led you out of bondage. I can lead you out of captivity. I led you once in the promise to the promised land. I can lead you again to the promised land. I led you once to build the great temple. I can lead you again to build a great temple. I led you once to raise those walls around the holy city. I can lead you again to raise those walls around the holy city. Maybe it's because, I know it is, because of pastor school. Maybe it's because the Lord knows I need it worse than anybody else needs it. But He's worked me over this week with Isaiah 51:1. He's worked me over. He's worked me over. I sat here on the platform Wednesday night. This great sea of people. I never thought I'd preach to 100 people at one time in my life. I sat up here on the platform last Sunday morning. We had 30,570 people in Sunday school. And again Thursday night! Strange thing. You didn't know it. I was thinking about dippers. I was thinking about outhouses. Terrible thing to think about before you preach, isn't it? I was thinking about outhouses. I was thinking about when Mama took me down to the outlet shoe store in Dallas, Texas, when I was 8 years old. No, 10 years old. And got the first new pair of shoes I ever had in my life. And I picked out a little pair of shoes. And I said, those are the ones I'd like to have. Mama said, you want those, son? I said, yes. And they put them on my feet. And they wrapped them up, put them in a box, and wrapped them up at the outlet shoe store on Elm Street in Dallas, Texas. And I was so happy. And Mother took a little coupon out from the welfare. They called it relief in those days. And gave it to them. And I can recall, like yesterday, that man said, oh, you're not going to pay cash? And Mother said, no, we're on relief or welfare. And the man said, well, you can't get this good a shoe on relief or welfare. And my mother said, how many told her? And she opened up a little purse and put all the money she had on the counter, and it wasn't enough. And he took the little shoes and put them back on the shelf, and I got a cheaper pair. And I can recall like it was yesterday when I went to school the next day, and my dear teacher, Mrs. Toblaski, she looked at me and she said, hey, Jack, you got some new shoes. And I couldn't walk real well that day because I had shiny shoes. Never had any shiny shoes before. You know how you walk when you have new shoes? You're trying to act casual, so you walk like this, you know. I walked into the classroom like that. And she said, you got a new shoe. And I said, you got two of them. And she looked at me, and she knew I was poor, and she hugged me. She said, I'm so proud you have some new shoes. What I used to be. My dad was a drunkard. My dad couldn't sign his name to a check. Oh, he could scribble a little bit. My dad was almost illiterate. You forgive me, but I'm not mahogany. I'm just old cactus. But blessed be God, he can use cactus. He can use cactus. Don't forget the pit. Don't forget it, deacon! Don't forget the nights in sin! Don't forget it, preacher! Don't forget the wicked language! Don't forget it as you read the Bible! Don't forget how you used to curse the name of God and profane His name! Don't forget it! It'll keep you humble. It'll keep your heart full of joy and praise. It'll warn you not to go back near the old pit. You might fall in again. It'll encourage you as to what God can do in the future. Wait a minute. Are you listening? Some of you are still in the pit. Some of you are still in the pit. Some of you teenagers were on dope last night. Some of you teenagers out drinking last night lived in sin. Some of you men this morning are still in the taverns, and you were out there this week, got beer in the icebox at home. Now, there's something better than that, in case you want to know it.
Amen.
And that something better is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He lifted me out of the miry clay, and that's what He's done for me. He lifted me out of the miry clay, and that's what He's done for me. He lifted me out of the miry clay, and that's what He's done for me. I could never, never tell you all He's done for me. He set my foot on the solid rock, and that's what He's done for me. He set my foot on the solid rock, and that's what He's done for me. He lifted my, set my foot on the solid rock, and that's what He's done for me. I could never, never tell you all He's done for me. He lifted my burden and gave me a song, and that's what He's done for me. He lifted my burden and gave me a song, and that's what He's done for me. He lifted my burden and gave me a song, and that's what He's done for me. I could never, never tell you all He's done for me. This morning, if you're in the pit, He'll lift you out of it.
Amen.
You're down in the bottom, and you say, I was talking to a cab driver the other day, and I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't believe in that. I said, well, you'd go to hell if you don't get saved. He said, I'm having my hell right now. He's a little bit right. Just as this building right here and this service type of, is a little foretaste of heaven, even so the life in sin is a little bit of hell before you get there. But God has something better. He has something better. If this morning you're in the pit, way back in the corners, way back in the corners of this house, if you're still in the pit and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, and you don't know your name is written in heaven, blessed be God. He'll write your name in heaven today if you'll trust Him. He'll lift you out of the pit this morning. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.